I welcome all of you to the Bhakta Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji for enlightening on our topic, Six Characteristics of Devotional Service. Mataji, please take over the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Vinaya Mataji, for welcoming everybody. And thank you all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who have joined the call. Really grateful to all of you for all of your auspicious presence. So, thank you all so much. It's really an honor to speak something on Krishna Katha. So, today we'll do the topic that is entitled The Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service. So, we'll chant the Mangalacharan prayer and then we'll move forward. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदातिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्ते सप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये नित्यानन्दावतेन्दु वसुधप्राणवल्लभ जानवी जीवतापति कृष्ण प्रेम भवतु पद्मावती सुता श्रीमान् सच्चिनन्दन पूर्वज भावमज्जगत्प्रातः रक्तगौरकलेवर नमो नमो अनिरुद्धाय ऋषिकेशेन्द्रियात्मने नमः परमहंसाय पूर्णाय निवृतात्मने स्वर्गपर्गद्वाराय नित्यं शुचि सदे नमः नमो हिरण्याय वीराय चातुर्गोत्राय कान्तवे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुवैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिचारी स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणि निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणि हरे कृष्ण एवरीवन सो प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस एट द डस्ट ऑफ योर लोटस फीट रियली सीक ब्लेसिंग्स एंड प्रेयर्स फ्रॉम ऑल ऑफ यू to please kindly shower your mercy on me so that I may speak something relevant and which is 100% aligned to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and all our Guru Arjas. So, we all know that we are in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are in the chapter which is the process of devotional service where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Sanatana Goswami. So, we did a couple of verses on Thursday, last week. And in continuation, actually on Thursday we read about how we Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs about the two kinds of bhakti, that is Vaidhi bhakti and Raganuga bhakti. So we saw in detail about what are those types of bhaktis and how one should ponder upon them, should move forward. But in that class also we heard about the different waves of the nectar of devotion, like the section of, like ocean is divided into four sections, and actually in different sections, similarly, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, he divides this whole nectar of ocean, that is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is again an ocean of bhakti. He divided into four sections, that is, and he named it as Eastern, Southern, Northern, and Western. And in Eastern wave, the main wave, we saw there are four sub-waves. So what are four sub-waves? The smaller waves in that big wave is, we saw the four, that is, Samanya Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. So we saw, read about, you know, heard about Sadhana Bhakti in detail on Thursday. So today in continuation, though it is not 100% aligned to our Chaitanya Charitamrita reading, but seeing the interest of the devotees and of course for my purification and glorification of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I thought let's go in detail with this chapter about characteristics of pure devotional service, which is the first sub-wave in the main wave of the Eastern section. Okay? So, today's class will be purely technical. So, please bear with me. And kindly forgive me for that. And because it is technical, because it's purely, totally from nectar of devotion. And whatever you can grasp, it's okay. Whatever you cannot, you know, maybe you can leave it for some time. Because I'll try to make myself and, you know, 100% on my ability that, you know, I'll try to explain it, whatever, you know, I've been heard from my Siksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus. So please bear with me. So the characteristics of pure devotional service is the first chapter in Nectar of Devotion, where Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, he divides these characteristics of pure devotional service into six parts. The first is, he says, kleshagni, that when a person does any kind of pure devotional service towards the Supreme Lord, towards the Divine Couple, the first immediate happened is kleshagni. Kleshagni, klesha means suffering, right? Distress. And ghani means relief. So this pure devotional service, it provides relief from material distress. That's the first characteristic. We also learned that normally people say it's klesha agni. It's not klesha agni, because klesha agni means it's fire of distress. So the characteristics of devotional service is not that, you know, the klesha increases as a blazing fire. So it's klesha ghani, which means it gives relief to the material distress. Now we'll see in detail that how it gives relief to all the distress. So distress may be caused by various reasons. We know the basics, that material miseries, but of different kinds, like adhyatmika, Adi Bhaudik and Adi Dairik, right? These are the three various kinds. The miseries that are being caused by the divinity, that is, by the demigods and all. The distress that is caused by our own self, like we suffer from depression or anxiety issues. And distress caused by the nature. Sorry, distress caused by the nature is like the demigods, like we get tsunami and earthquakes and volcanoes and so on and so forth. And this just, which is being caused by the other living entities, right? So there are the three kinds of distresses. But here, Rupa Goswami Pad in Lecture of Devotion, he describes the various three other kinds of distress. So first is about the sin, he said. The sin, the sinful activity, which is known as papam, right? So when a person does any sinful activity, any action, immediate is that we have to expect some reactions out of it. Because every action yields to a reaction. Similarly, when a person, a living entity, he does any sinful action, there are reactions to it. Now, there are two reactions to any action. First is the prarabdha, and the second is aprarabdha. What does it mean? Prarabdha means manifest. Immediately after doing some sinful action, the immediate result that we get, that is reaction that we get, is prarabdha, which manifests in front of us. And the second is unmanifest, that is, it has been stored for us for future. Krishna is so kind that if Krishna gives the immediate reactions to our sinful actions, all of them, then it will be very difficult for a living entity to survive in this world. Because that's how degraded we are. That's how degraded our actions are. But Krishna is so kind that he gives only a few of the reactions which are immediate as prarabdha, and then he just gives again the ball in our court that how we deal with those, and still, you know, some store reactions are there to him. It depends upon how we deal, and so slowly and slowly we get those reactions. But it's not that all our prarabdha reactions we'll get. It might get changed depending upon the free will that we use that Krishna has given to us, depending upon the behavior that we behave, right? So, Rupa Goswami says that a disease which is caught early is curable. We all know. The more chronic the disease becomes, the more difficult it is to eradicate it, right? But if it is caught early, then definitely it is curable. But again, the fundamental point comes in to understand that whether we are diseased or not, because there are some living entities, they don't even believe that they are diseased in this material existence. So we have to remind ourselves that yes, we are diseased. And the more early we realize it, it's easy for us to cure it. Right? So, coming back to what papa, the sinful activity which yields to prarabdha and aprarabdha. Prarabdha, we read that it is manifest. For example, when we came down to this material existence, anyone else had the choice to that, okay, I want this parent, I want to born in this family, I want to born in this country, I want only these kinds of siblings. No, we were forced to take birth, right? We had no choice. So that is what the prarabdha is. So depending upon our sinful action, Krishna gave us the reaction in the form of our birth, that we will be born with such and such qualities, with such and such features, with such and such color, with such and such parents, with such siblings in such country, in some country. So this is the prarabdha karma that we get because of some sinful activity we did. But still, some sinful reactions, which are aprarabdha karma, is still in the storehouse. Right? So, how those aprarabdha karma works? Right? Now, aprarabdha karma may again have some of the prarabdha karma and some can be stored as a propensity for us. I'll just tell you with an example, it will be more clear. For example, if we engage ourselves in some kind of intoxication, right? So what will happen? One type is that immediately we get some direct or physical or some emotional suffering, right? So that reaction we'll get immediately. That is, again, prarabdha, manifest. It gets manifest immediately. Maybe, you know, we get some kind of vomiting or some kind of disease after drinking some alcohol, some intoxication, or maybe the liver gets damaged. So these are the immediate reactions that a person gets after doing some sinful activity. Now, the other type is indirect. What is indirect? That is known as in Sanskrit, as Rupa Goswami Pad says, is kutam. That is our propensity. Maybe after getting relief from some physical suffering, we may get some relief. But still, the propensity of drinking more and more and more and more will still be there. Right? And that propensity is known as kutam. Now, when the propensity is there, then what will happen? A person, a living entity, gets a desire, right? A desire to do that. Okay, today I was drinking, I got some physical suffering, I refrained myself. I got over that physical suffering. Again, since a person who is a drunkard, he again gets that propensity to drink more and more, right? Now, the propensity is still there, right? That, yes, I want to drink more. Now, one day what happened? Again, some friends came and they offered a glass of wine. Now, what happened? The propensity, because the propensity was there, because that physical suffering was not that enough to stop ourselves. So what happened? The desire got stronger after being offered a glass of wine. The desire, it got more and more strong. Now, once the desire got strong, what happened? A person forgets the physical suffering and again takes the glass of wine. I'm just giving you the example of intoxication. It can be for any of the things, whether it's kind of illicit sex or it's a gambling or it's meat eating. It can be taken into any. I'm just giving the example of intoxication, right? So again, that desire, when it gets stronger, a person takes up the glass and drinks it. So he commits again that sinful activity. Now, sinful activity, second time is committed. This sinful activity will again have some prarabdha and some aprarabdha. So that propensity of drinking goes on and on and on. It doesn't stop. So this becomes a cycle, right? So from a sinful activity, the reactions is prarabdha and aprarabdha. From aprarabdha, the kutam, that is the propensity to drink more, to commit some sinful activity more. And from kutam, the bijam, that is the desire to do that sinful activity, gets stronger. And finally, a person tends to commit that sinful activity. And again, that prarabdha and aprarabdha. So it's a cycle, it's a circle that goes and on and on and on. Now, where to break this circle, right? That's the point. So before breaking that circle, it is said that before committing, it starts from committing sinful activity. Above that is the point where we have to understand is the ignorance. So it's only and only because of ignorance that a person commits some sinful activity. Because of that, it is bound by prarabdha and aprarabdha karmas. And because of that, there is a kutam, there is a bijam, and again, a person commits a sinful activity. So the circle, above this circle, is the point that is ignorance. If a person is in knowledge, if a person is not in darkness, if a person is in full knowledge that who am I? Am I here to commit all these sinful activities, or I have got this rare human form of birth to dedicate it to the loving service of the divine couple? If that ignorance gets removed, only then this cycle can be cut. Otherwise, this circle goes on and on and on, ever-ending. From time immemorial, it has been going on, and it will go on further. Now, how this knowledge comes in, how the ignorance is removed, is by doing some kind of devotional service. That is why it is said that devotional service, one of the characteristics is that it gets ourselves relieved from this cycle of birth and death. And finally, it removes all kind of ignorance, all kind of distress. And that's why the first characteristic is Klesha Gani. It gives relief from all this distress. These are the three distress: the papam, the kutam, the bijam. Because, and of course, the ignorance. If these are broken, then finally a person gets into the enlightenment of the heart, where he, a living entity, performs some devotional service in the association of devotees and finally gets relieved from Klesha Ghani. Finally, it gets relieved from all kind of distress, all kind of kaleshas. Also, Rupa Goswami Pad, he gives the example of a person who is a thief. So, man is destined to become a thief and to suffer some punishment. However, this reaction is not immediately felt and it is stored as a prarabdha. In the next life, the reaction begins to manifest at an utmost notice its proclivity towards dishonesty and cheating. So a person develops some dishonesty and cheating. This propensity gradually intensifies and eventually manifests as an explicit desire to steal. And finally, he steals and undergo again the suffering. So it can be with anything, either with any of the regulative principles or the propensity of cheating, telling lies, all these simple activities. We can take any example, but it will have all these circles. So devotional service eradicates sinful reactions, it nullifies the sinful desires, counteracts the propensity, and most importantly, it uproots the ignorance. Right? So that is the first sub-wave that we saw. That is Klesha Ghani. The next is Shubhada. The next wave is Shubhada. That is the next characteristic of devotional services, Shubhada, which means all auspiciousness. So devotional service brings all auspiciousness to a person who performs a devotional service. Now, Rupa Goswami Pad, again, he says that all auspiciousness he divides into four. First is, there cannot be auspiciousness if that activity is not benefit to everyone. That is the first. The next is, if it doesn't attract everyone. The third is, it produces good qualities. And the last is, it bestows some spiritual happiness. Now we'll see one by one. The first one and the second one, we'll take it together, that how devotional service, it benefits everyone and it attracts everyone. So we all know that Krishna consciousness is so auspicious that everyone can be attracted by the movement and everyone can feel the bliss out of this movement, out of Krishna consciousness. That's why, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, when he started this movement of Krishna consciousness, there are so many Westerners who didn't know anything about this philosophy, anything about this tradition or culture, but they were so attracted by the purity of Srila Prabhupada. And because of him, they were attracted to this movement. And when they got attracted, they immediately felt the result. They immediately fell into bliss. And finally, they were in this movement 100%. So a person who is engaged in devotional service, in full Krishna consciousness, is to be understood that he is doing the best service to the whole world. That is why in Bhagavad Gita also, this Krishna consciousness or devotional service is the highest welfare activity that a person can perform in this society. And thus it benefits and it attracts everyone. We all know the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, how he went to Jharkhand forest and he attracted all the animals in the Jharkhand forest and inspired them to dance and chant Hare Krishna. That's the best example. So, devotional service attracts and it benefits everyone. How it produces good qualities, that is the third one. So, we all know, Srila Prabhupada, when he preached, so all those Westerners who were hippies, they turned into happy. So Srila Prabhupada says that a Krishna conscious boy or a Krishna conscious person, even though he is not very well educated, still he can immediately give up all illicit sex life, gambling, meat eating and intoxication in no time. Right? Whereas those who are not in Krishna consciousness, though they are highly educated academically, still they are found that they are often drunkards, meat eaters, sex mongers, and gamblers. So when we are relieved from all these activities, then it is known as that we have some good quality, right? So it's only because of devotional service that a person gives up all kind of bad qualities and takes up all kind of good qualities. Even though academically that person may not be very good, but his knowledge of who he is gets so strong and so clear that he gives up all kind of bad activities and takes up to good qualities. That is the second thing. So finally we saw that devotional service, by doing some devotional service, everyone is benefited, everyone is attracted, and a person gets good qualities. Now the last one we'll see that it bestows superior happiness. So how it gives happiness? So again, Prabhupada says that there are three types of happiness. One is that comes from sense gratification, right? The second is which comes from liberation, Brahman realization. And the third one, which comes from devotional service. So first two, that is the happiness that one gets from sense gratification and the happiness which comes from liberation, they are simply temporary happiness. How much happiness, if I'm really hungry, I want to eat pizza, I can eat 1, 2, 3, 4 slices of pizza. But how much pizza, after eating one slice, maybe I may get some happiness. After eating 2, maybe I can get more happiness. 3 is not that happiness. The happiness, the degree of happiness gets reduced because now the tummy is getting full. 4, okay, by some pressure, still we can have. But how much? After eating maybe 5, 6 slices, the 7th or 8th slice may, you know, bring vomiting for us. That's the happiness that we were craving for. So all these happiness that we get out of sense gratification is simply the temporary. It lasts only for few moments or few hours, right? But not beyond that. Even the happiness that one gets from liberation. All Mayavadis believe that we finally get merged into the Supreme Brahman, right? After that, what? We are not inert souls, right? We need some activity. But in that Brahman realization, what happens? The soul becomes inert. Nothing to work, nothing to do. Finally, the desire gets stronger that I want to do something. And the soul again comes back to this material existence. So it is again temporary. Though the longevity may be longer, but still it is temporary. But after doing some devotional service, the happiness that we get is eternal. It's long-lasting. And even Krishna says that even after performing some devotional service, you tend to leave your life. Still that devotional service is stored. And in the next life, we start from where we stopped in our previous life. So it never gets in negative. It never gets zero. It goes on and on and on. So there are these kinds. So any devotional service which gives benefits to everyone, which attracts everyone, which gives good qualities, and which bestows superior happiness, that means that it brings on auspiciousness. So that is the second subwave, that this devotional service is Shubhada. One of the characteristics is Shubhada, because it brings on auspiciousness. Now the third is Moksha Laghu Kakrit. Moksha Laghu Kakrit means that it derides the happiness of liberation. We understood from the last thing also that liberation is not something higher because it is again temporary. Now after doing devotional service, Moksha means liberation, and Laghuta Krit means that it becomes, Laghuta means it becomes so insignificant. So even the inestimable bliss of liberation a person can get, it seems insignificant in performing a devotional service. So through, only through devotional service, the desire of liberation also gets zero. Right? Like in Satyavrat Muni, he wrote, right, what is this, Damodar Ashtakam. He says, I don't want any kind of liberation. I only want that this, your face, which is kiss, and which is, with lips are like a bimba of fruit, may this vision be always in front of me. So even the desire of liberation gets zero. And definitely, all the happiness that a person can get from economic development, religiousness, sense gratification, that is dharma, artha, kama, it really gets nullified. And finally, a person gets himself where he wants to do only devotional service and get rid of any kind of liberation. See, the liberation, it gives happiness to a person, for a jnana yogis, because they are fed up with this material sufferings that they get in this material existence, so they may aspire for liberation. But a bhakta, a devotee, he knows that this liberation is also not something on a higher platform, though it is only on the temporary platform. So the person, the devotee, he'll never aspire for any kind of liberation, and he'll always perform devotional service. So the third characteristic, that the desire or the happiness of liberation is also seems insignificant. Now the fourth is, the fourth characteristic of this devotional service is that it is sudurlabha. Sudurlabha means it is very difficult to achieve. Why it is very difficult to achieve? Because in Bhagavad Gita, it says that devotional service is sulabha. It is very easy to perform. Yes, Prabhupada also says that Krishna consciousness is the simple, only for the simple-hearted. Those who are complex, for them, taking up the beads, rising up early in the morning and to chant Hare Krishna is also complex. Because their mind is so complex, so they think, how come by doing this simple activity, one can achieve Krishna? They don't believe it. So this Krishna consciousness is simple, only for simple-hearted. But why this devotional service is being characterized as sudurlabha by Rupa Goswami is because of the two reasons. The first is that we cannot attain it by our own effort. By our own academic efforts, no matter how much we try, we cannot aspire, we cannot achieve devotional service. I'll request everyone to please keep your phones on mute. Thank you. So, we cannot attain this devotional service by our own efforts. And the second reason is that Krishna is reluctant to give. So, Prabhupada says that we cannot achieve pure devotional service by our own efforts. No matter how much we try, no matter how much we do any kind of Ashtanga Yoga, or any kind of austerity, tapasya, any kind of sacrifice, we cannot attain this devotional service on our own efforts. It's only by the will of Supreme Will, by the will of Krishna, that we, and of course our good fortune, that we come into contact with a pure devotee, because of which the devotional service is given to us. And the second reason, Krishna is very reluctant to give it. Why Krishna is reluctant? Because Krishna, if you go and ask Krishna some bhakti or mukti, he'll say, okay, please take it and leave me alone. He doesn't want to give bhakti. Why? Because when Krishna gives bhakti, that means bhakti given by Krishna means Krishna becomes subservient to that devotee. Krishna becomes a sold-out servant to that devotee. Krishna doesn't want to sell himself, right? To any ordinary person. That's why Krishna doesn't give bhakti so easily. Basically, Krishna cannot give. This bhakti comes only from bhakta. So on our own ways, on our own process, we cannot get it. On our own efforts, we cannot get it. And the second is that Krishna is not ready to give it. So because of these two reasons, Rupa Goswami Pad describes that this devotional service is sudurlabha. But once, because of good fortune, when we come into contact with the pure devotee of the Lord, and we get this taste of doing devotional service, then it becomes so simple to perform, right? The next is, the fifth characteristic is Sandarananda Visheshatma. One point I'll tell before moving forward, that when we discuss about Klesha Ghani and we discuss about Shubhada, we have to understand that these two characteristics of pure devotional service, one experiences when one comes on the stage of Nishtha. We know the different processes, the different stages. The first is Adishraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, that after coming in association of devotees, we perform some bhajan, and then we get Anartha Nivritti, and then comes Nishtha. So after Anartha Nivritti, when we are stage on Nishtha, only that platform we can experience the first two characteristics of pure devotional service, that is Klesha Ghani and Shubhada. Only then all auspiciousness will come in. And the third and fourth, that is Moksha Laghu Kakrit and Sudurlava, are the two characteristics that a person experiences on the stage of Bhava. So after Nishtha is Ruchi, Asakti, and then comes Thava. So only at the stage of Bhava that one can experience these two characteristics of pure devotional service, Moksha Laghu Kakrit, where a person derives even the happiness of liberation, and which is so durlabha that a person understands that it's very difficult to achieve. Otherwise, in previous stages, we just take it for granted. Now, the fifth one, that is Sandaranda Visheshatma, that is incalculably condensed bliss, has been translated by Srila Prabhupada. This and the last one, that is Sri Krishna Akarshini, which attracts Sri Krishna, these two characteristics are perceived by a person who is on the prema, who is on the stage of prema. So what is this Sandaranda Visheshatma? That is incalculably condensed bliss. Our bliss gets so much condensed. The happiness that a person gets in doing some devotional service is like a condensed milk. We don't have much more to say on this, but yes, Prabhupada, he says that when there is a metal, right? So the molecular density of that metal is so concentrated that nothing can penetrate into. So similarly, the happiness of prema bhakti, it is so densely concentrated that nothing can penetrate into it. And even the devotee's mind doesn't flicker from momentarily from this place to that place. A person is totally fixed onto the lotus feet of the divine couple. And when a person is fixed, one cannot think of anything else except to serve the divine couple. That is why it is known as it is incalculably condensed milk. It gets so much condensed. Right, and Rupa Goswami, he gives the reference in Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu about, he says, the happiness of becoming one with the Supreme Lord, when it is multiplied by 1 trillion fold, 1 trillion fold, the happiness of Brahmananda, it still cannot compare to an atomic fraction of the happiness that one derived from the ocean of devotional service. So that's how beautiful it is. But again, this is the stage where, one cannot understand unless one is on the stage of prema. The last one is Sri Krishna Akarshini, that is the devotional service attracts Sri Krishna. Again, it is on the level of prema bhakti, because as we discussed, Krishna doesn't want to get controlled by any one of us. Krishna wants to get controlled only by his pure devotees. And this devotional service attracts even the all-attractive Lord, that is Sri Krishna. The Lord, we all know, he is Atmarama, he is satisfied. But we know that he is attracted by Srimati Radharani, by his own internal pleasure potency, that is Haladini Shakti. Why? It is why, you know, the Haladini Shakti. What is this Haladini Shakti? That is the internal potency. What is this Halad? Halad means pleasure or happiness, the bliss. And Dini, Dini means Daite, one who gives pleasure, that is Haladini. And who is the embodiment of it is Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is known as, is the Haladini Shakti of Sri Krishna, because she is the one who gives bliss or pleasure to the Supreme Lord, who is Atmaram, who doesn't need anything, but still he is attracted by that love of Srimati Radharani. So therefore, one who is on prema, on the prema state, he can attract and control Krishna. So that is why devotional service attracts Sri Krishna, and that's the sixth characteristic, which is Sri Krishna Akarshani. So we have to understand that, you know, this halad word, we all hear it more common, right? One is in the form of, in the as Haladini Shakti. Also we say Prahalad. What is this Prahalad? Prahalad means a person who is already in bliss. Halad is bliss, right? Or pleasure. Pra means a person who is already in bliss. So that is the meaning of Prahalad. And when Prahalad, when he saw Narsingha Dev, so we sing in Narsingha Arati, right? Namaste Narsinghaya Prahalad Halad Daine. Means this Lord Narsingha Dev, he gives Halad, he gives bliss to whom? To Prahalad, to a person who is already in bliss, right? That's how beautiful it is. So Narsingha Dev gives pleasure, gives halad to Prahlad, gives pleasure to a person who is already in bliss. And so we aspire for, we follow the footsteps of Prahlad, right? So, and that's what Haladini Shakti is. So it's only on the prema level, it's only gopis headed by Srimati Radharani that they are on this prema state, and thus they can attract Sri Krishna. So that was, and of course, Srila Prabhupada adds, the position of the Pandavas, he also compares, that is also the greatest among all great. Why? Because Krishna stayed with them, remained with them, got attracted by their devotion, by their friendship, by their love, right? Because how that he took the menial position of being a chariot driver for Arjuna. So that means he basically sold out himself to Arjuna. Why? Because Arjuna was giving that love, that bliss to Krishna because of his devotion. So it's only on the prema bhakti that one understands that this devotional service can attract even the most attractive Lord Sri Krishna. Right? So to that we'll end up. I'm sorry if it was too technical, but we can take a few questions that we did. And just to summarize, so the six characteristics we heard, that is Kleshagni, Shubhada, Moksha, Lagukrit, Sudurlaba, Sandaranda, Visheshatma, and Sri Krishna Akarshini. The first two, that is Kleshagni and Shubhada, can be understood by a person who is on the Nishtha stage. The Moksha Lagukakrit and Sudurlabha are the two characteristics that a person can understand on a Bhava stage. And finally, the Sandaranda Visheshatma and Sri Krishna Akarshani are the two characteristics which one can perceive at the stage of prema. Thus, these are the six characteristics of pure devotional service as referred by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thank you all so much. We can just take a few questions. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kirtana Sundari Mataji. As usual,
was so crystal clear, so nicely explained. Very, very, I don't know what to say. It's so good to just hear from you. It puts things in the correct perspective. Thank you. I had one question and one comment. So the comment is about Prahlad. It was so nice to hear about the Narsinga prayers, where Narsinga Dev is giving pleasure to the one who's already in bliss. Very beautifully explained. Thank you so much. Well, the question is very silly question, but you spoke about the six characteristics, right? So why is it that in Nectar of Devotion, the order is kind of slightly changed, or am I understanding it wrong? It says number one is pure devotional service brings immediate relief. Number two is devotion is the beginning of all auspiciousness. The third one is pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. I thought this should be the fifth one according to how you explained, and the third one should be it even derives the concept of liberation, right? Looks like the third and the fifth changed. That is not exactly order, but it's more like it's just listed together. That's how I understand it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Because when you see the description, then you'll see that the order is the same that I spoke about.
Right.
That is right. In the description, the Sudurlabha, that is pure devotional service, is rarely achieved, is described before than the one that is put into transcendental pleasure.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's just listed, but this is how it goes, because it goes on stage-wise, right? Nishtha, Bhava, and Prema.
Correct. Very beautiful, Mahataji. Yeah. Very, very nice. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mahataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dana Pranam, all glories to the Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hi, Mataji, I have one question. It's a very, very clear class. Mataji, this till the time Anartha Nivritti is there, is all the devotional service in the mental platform, Mataji.
It's not, I'll say that it's on a mental platform. See, we don't have to get disheartened that, till the time my Anartha Nivritti doesn't happen, I cannot experience all those as said by Rupa Goswami. Because the first characteristic, the Kleshagni, also comes in the stage of Nishtha. Right? It's not the case that we have to become disheartened. But yes, devotional service, by doing devotional service, it will help. More purity will come, and finally all those characteristics will be revealed to us. So till the time, as I said, that we just have to follow Vaidhi Bhakti, right? We just have to keep on performing without any expectations of experiencing any kind of result of devotional service. Because if we are trying to experience even if we have a slightest motive of experiencing something out of devotional service, again, it will not be on the pure platform. So we just have to follow the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of our acharyas, that we just have to keep on doing it. These are the nectar of devotion in this, the characteristics that has been mentioned, is definitely for our knowledge, so that we know that we are on the right path. But it's not on to where our expectations get increased. It's not that we have to expect out of something. That should not be the mood. The mood is to follow the footsteps and keep on doing it with much purity, how much purity we can put into to our own, putting 100% of ourselves. We should just keep on performing. And simultaneously praying to Srila Prabhupada and to the Divine Couple, may please bestow mercy. That's how. But before that, you cannot say that you are doing something whimsical. No, it's not like that. Devotional service has to be performed, keep on performing, and following the footsteps of our acharyas. Got it, Mataji?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. It's like Bhairi Bhakti. But that is under the spiritual master.
Yes, under the instructions of spiritual master, keep on performing. It's only through devotional service that when we do more and more, the purity comes. And finally, these characteristics will be revealed. But on the first stage, if we just start expecting that, oh, I need these results, then it won't happen.
Yes, Mataji. That's why sometimes we get so much of discouraged. We're trying our best about the nectar of instruction, how the Rupa Goswami himself has given that four things favorable, enthusiasm. Thank you, Mataji. Class,
thank you. Be patient. That's why Rupa Goswami says, Dhairya, be patient. Even if we are 15 or 20 years of this in this movement, still we should think we are just crawling babies. We are just taking baby steps, right? But 15 years is nothing compared to the million and trillion of years that we have been committing to sinful activities. That's why we are here, right? Because we are in this continuous cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, we would not be here. We are here. That proves that we are in the cycle of birth and death.
Yes, Mataji, it's very much clear. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful class, Mataji. That my question is that although by the grace of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, I chant regularly, but what happened means that sometimes I will get deviate from bhakti, means by doing service in the mission. I had a big dream that I want to join the temple as a full-time devotee, but I get sometimes deviated when I am dealing with my family. Well, at that time, we are not actually discussing over the Krishna consciousness, but their voices bewilder me. At the time of discussion, what we are discussing, at that time I got deviated by some hours or some days. But after that, I will get fine. But I have a very fear that by seeing all this, that I cannot survive in this preaching or I'm always fear that my dream comes true, that join as a full-time devotee in the temple due to my deviations by leaving with families, friends, and etc. So please help me, Mataji, clear this question. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, may I know your name, Prabhu?
Prabhu. Mataji, sorry.
What's your name?
My name is Prashant, ma'am. Prashant Kumar.
Prashant. And you are in US or you are out of US?
No, I'm out of US. I'm from India, Karnataka.
Oh, and you are married, right? As you said, no.
No, not married, okay. Mataji. I'm just 19 years old.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. These questions were what I asked was relevant so that I can answer it. I know some background of you, and so, I can answer it. I'll answer whatever I understood and to my own capability. Maybe you can seek guidance from some senior devotees in your area also. So, as you said, Prabhu?
I want to make one point that in my surroundings, my family and my friends are not the devotees. I'm the only one, the devotee in my whole tradition also. In this, we are following some other tradition like Lingayat group. So I'm only the one child who is devotee. So that is the point.
I got you, Prabhu. I got you. So this is a very common situation, especially, in India we see that when a student or a child wants to take up this process of Krishna consciousness, he doesn't get full 100% commitment from his family and parents because they are averse to it. So in your situation, whatever, you know, I like to say that first thing is when you are chanting, that is, you have to stick to your chanting. How many rounds that you are chanting, try to fix those rounds and come up 16. To the level of 16. And if you are already chanting 16 rounds, that's excellent. Keep on chanting. Chanting is the 99% of all your devotional service. Okay? So if your chanting is perfect, even if you are not able to serve this mission properly, physically, as per you desire, still 99% of that devotional service is being accomplished if you are chanting 16 rounds. Right? That's the first thing. The second thing is, if your family, your parents are not favorable, do not preach them. Because they have seen you grown from the childhood to boyhood to youth. If you will preach, they'll not take it because they are much more senior than you. You cannot preach to your elders. You cannot preach to your family members, to your nearby relatives. It's impossible. Don't even try out, right? The only thing is you can do is pray. You can pray to Lord that this is what my ambition is and this is what I am in. And take it positively. And when you are being put into that situation, understand that Krishna has some better plans for you. Right? The third thing you mentioned about discussing those mundane matters with your family members. Those matters which doesn't involve Krishna, which are not Krishna conscious related. See, for pleasure of your friends and family, friends, I don't know, because friends is such that you can leave. You can leave your friends easily. You can make a distinction. Oh, this person is taking me degraded into the position. I'm not going to deal or I'm not going to associate with that person. But family is such that you cannot leave, right? You cannot leave your family. They have put so many hardships to bring you on this platform, onto this point, onto this age, right? So family, even if you are discussing some mundane matters, but for their happiness, if you are doing it, I should say, don't stop yourself, right? But at the same time, make a check on your thing that whatever time you are spending is not too much. You can easily escape. You can easily make an escape. But if you are not doing that, if you are not getting yourself involved in your family matters, then what will happen? Your family will not consider you as a great devotee, right? The family will not consider you as a part of a family. In that case, you will be bereft of. So the, either you are really very strong, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this boy has dropped off. So we have to wait for him to get back because he might be missing a part.
Maybe you can hear the recording.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, go ahead, Mata.
So the thing is that if the family part, yes, if we have to spend some time with that family, it's perfect, we can go ahead with it. But again, we have to make a check that we are not spending too much time in that family and forgetting our relationship with Krishna. The last point that you mentioned about that you want to join as a full-time devotee and you are being deprived of because of some situations you are put into it, because of the situation your family is there. So this is what the tolerance comes in. This is what the patience comes in. We don't have to deal what I aspire for. I want to become a full-time devotee. Maybe Krishna doesn't want you to become a full-time devotee. So that should not be the mood. The mood is, that yes, Krishna, you have put me in this situation. This is my aspiration. And how I have to deal with it, you please guide me. And Krishna will give. Krishna says, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajata Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogantam. I will give you the intelligence through which you can fulfill all your aspirations. Before that, if we are thinking, oh, I want to do this, then that means we are putting I, myself, in the center, and Krishna is nowhere in the center. That should not be the mood. Krishna should always be in the center. We have to continuously pray to Krishna. This is the aspiration of mine, Krishna. Please see if it can be fulfilled by any other means. Otherwise, whatever situation I am in, please guide me so that I can become Krishna conscious. Maybe your aspiration is that you want to become a full-time devotee, but Krishna doesn't want you to become a full-time devotee. That we have to understand. Example is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Raghunath Das Goswami. He wants to join. He wants to join to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a full-time devotee. But his parents were reluctant to it, that they said, oh, you are not going anywhere. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Krishna consciousness is not by joining me. You can be in your home and still be Krishna consciousness. You can preach the world not through your words, but by your actions. So this is what, you know, to my limited understanding I can say. And rest, you can always reach out to some senior devotees to wherever place you belong to. So thank you. Thank you for your wonderful question.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for your wonderful explanation. Thank you, thank you. Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam, Mataji. So,
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat.
Hare Krishna, Siddha Sundari Mataji, then very inspiring class. It is a little bit hard for me, but from Nectar of Instruction, Prabhuji, I want to explain that me too from Gujarati family, and all family members are worshipping Srinathji, Laddu Gopal, and me only worshipping Shishiradha Gopinath. So this is our taste, Prabhuji. I am very, very small Vaishnavi. This is our taste. But now my Prabhuji is, when we reach Chappan Bhoga, here we don't have servants, so he cleaned two kitchen vessels, and he just keep in all the foil bowl, all the offering. He dropped me in the temple, and so much helpful. So Prabhuji, it's our exam. By our own behavior, we can change our family members. Srila Prabhupada, and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev and Shishirata Kopinath, that mind will change, but it takes time, not one and two days they will change. It takes 10, 15 and 20 years, Prabhu. We have to wait and watch. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Thank you so much, Srinda Gopika Mataji, for adding to it.
Hare Krishna Kirti Vasundhara Mataji, wonderful class, and very clearly explained all the points. I especially liked the point about the prarabdha and aprarabdha, the example that you gave. And although we experience it practically so many times in our life, I have not seen it in this angle, so it was very nice to hear that. Also, I had one question about when you said the first point about removing the misery, and when devotional service is performed, the first thing that happens is klesha. So, is it? You also mentioned the word about klesha agni, or experiencing more misery. So, I just wanted to understand that whether klesha. So many times we also hear that when we start devotional service, we experience a lot of more misery than before. So that is kind of purification as well. And then after that, we come to the stage of relief from all material distress. Is that how we understand this?
Thank you so much, Sarojanandini Mataji. Yeah, that's true that, you know, our anarthas are so big that when we perform some devotional service, we experience more misery. And, you know, to that it is said that because our anarthas are so much, so starting point is that we experience more misery, but eventually it goes. But my point, what I was saying is about klesha agni, that it gets relief from all distress. But oftentimes, you know, when people say it, they say klesha agni. So I was just correcting that word, that it is not klesha agni. Because when we say the word klesha agni, means, klesha means distress, and agni means fire. So the fire of distress increases. But that's not the characteristics of pure devotional service. The characteristics of pure devotional service is klesha ghani. Klesha means distress, and ghani means to destroy. It's been destroyed. So all the kleshas, all the miseries are destroyed. So I was just correcting the pronunciation that it has to be said as klesha ghani instead of klesha agni. So that was the point. But you took it on the other way, which shows again your positivity.
Oh, thank you, Mataji. I just wanted to clarify, because many times we hear that, and also from many devotees' lectures, I've heard that the first thing that happens is we tend to think that, oh my God, after taking the devotional service, I'm experiencing more pain. But that is because of all the anarthas that we have inside, and only if the first layer of dirt comes out, then we will be able to experience more and more bliss. So that is for our purification. And then when we come to, as you are saying, this experience comes in the stage of nishta. So when we go to that stage, probably we will experience this klesha ghani. Ghani, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And also one more question, Mataji. When we were mentioning about Ladini Shakti, I wanted to, I don't remember the other one. There's one more Shakti that is mentioned about Krishna. Do you know Ladini and not getting that name?
Sandini
Samvit.
That's Krishna has two, right? Antaranga Shakti and Bahiranga Shakti. And third is the Tatastha Shakti. So Antaranga Shakti is again divided into three, that is Samvit, Sandini and Haladini.
Okay. So yes, Mataji. So the other two is not in relation to this. It's not mentioned. How do we understand that?
See, Samvit Shakti is Krishna's own. When Krishna manifests himself as Krishna, right? As Krishna. That is the, you know, that Krishna is Sat Chit Ananda, right? So there is a Sat, that is truth, Chit, that is knowledge, and Ananda means bliss. So for Ananda, it's a Ladini Shakti. Huh? For knowledge and for truth, that is Samvit and Sandini. Sandini Shakti is of Balaram, like when Krishna gets various expansions. Right? So that is only because of Balaram that Krishna incarnates into different incarnations. That is through Balaram. That is Sandini Shakti. Right? And Samvit Shakti is Krishna's own Shakti when Krishna expands himself as Krishna. For example, when he does Rasa Leela with the gopis, so Krishna expands himself into Krishna only, but like every gopi feels that Krishna is with me. That's what, through Samvit Shakti, he does that. And second example is when he is with the queens of Dwarka. In each palace, Krishna is there with his own 16,000 queens. So there also Krishna expands himself as Krishna. That is the Samvit Shakti, Sat Shakti. But Chit is, that is through knowledge. And Krishna's own Shakti, that is Sandini Shakti, which is headed by Lord Balaram, that Krishna incarnates into various incarnations, like into Vishnu Tattvas, the different Tattvas he incarnates. And the third is the Ananda part. That is Ladini Shakti, through which Krishna gets pleasure. And that pleasure potency comes from Srimati Radharani. Right?
Yes, Mataji. Yeah, so now I can understand that because you were talking about Krishna Karshini and we were talking about bliss, so that's how we are talking about Sladini. Thank you, Mataji. Everything is clear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for taking so much effort to try to make this clear. A couple of questions. One is, just to repeat, let me start with this one. You said that we should not, in our chanting, be looking for all of these symptoms of devotional service, because that's like I guess that would be like in the mode of passion, you know. We should. I think you said that these symptoms are just a way to make sure, a guide to show that we are headed in the right direction, right?
Yes. Yes.
So my problem, though, is that it seems like there's a fine line between using it as a guide and trying to chant to get these things, because when, you know, in order to use them as a guide for our progress, you have to look for them. You know, you have to be on the lookout. Okay, am I experiencing this? Am I experiencing that? And so it's like a, I don't know if I want to say a razor's edge, you know, between.
I got you, Mataji. Yeah, I got your question. So to that is, yes, you said that there is a fine line difference, you know, fine line between guide and, you know. See, when you are seeking something, that means you are aspiring for something and you are expecting something. There is again a fine line difference. When you aspire for, it's okay that you are aspiring for getting onto this platform where you are even attracting Krishna, the all attractive, that is on the platform of Sri Krishna Akarshan. To aspire for, there is no harm. But to expect out of whatever service we are doing that, oh, from next day onwards, you know, I should get this, I should experience this characteristic of Sri Krishna Akarshani while doing devotional service. That is what I was telling Anjana Gopika Mataji, that that's the wrong thinking. We should not even expect something. It will automatically be revealed to us. Like all the acharyas, all the Vartaman gurus, they say that while chanting, just focus on the hearing of chanting. Chant through your mouth and hear through your ears. That's the only process. But we all know that through chanting only, the Naam, Rupa, Gun, Leela will come. But do we aspire? We aspire. No doubt we aspire that, oh Lord, when will the day be mine that I will be chanting your name and your pastimes are there in front of me. Right? But do we expect that? No. The expectation is only that hear and chant and hear. Though we know the result is there, but oftentimes it is said that focus on chanting and hearing, but all these Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela will automatically be revealed. So that was the point I was making, that do your devotional service, put your 100%, but all these characteristics will eventually be revealed while we are doing devotional service.
Okay, so I think I understand from what you were saying that the difference between aspiring and expecting seems to be that when you expect, you know, it's like you're relying on your own endeavor to bring about, whereas with aspiring, you make endeavor, but you just wait for on Krishna's grace. So it seems like a question of you know, one's own endeavor versus Krishna's grace type thing.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, one other question I had was about your break, you know, this word Prahlad and also Hladini. So in both cases, there's a root there of Hlad, which you said means bliss, right?
Yes.
So, and with Hladini, what part of it means to give? Because there's Hlad means bliss, and then
Hlad,
I guess,
means
with
bliss, and Bini. Bini comes from the Sanskrit word daite, to give.
Okay, so bliss is only HLA, not HLAD?
No, it's Hlad and Dini.
Okay, so the
yeah,
D is in both. Okay.
Yeah, it's Dini.
Okay.
Like, you know, da, it also, daite, Either we can say Dini or we can say Da, like the name Kirti Da. Who is Kirti Da? One who gives Kirti to Srimati Radharani. That's why her mother's name is Kirti Da. Or we say Yashoda. One who gives Yash to a person. That is Yashoda. You know?
Okay,
da,
well, now,
da or Dini. Da and Dini comes from the Sanskrit word Daite, to give.
Well, now, just as a tangent, since you mentioned it, now I have to know what Kirti means, and I have to know what Yash means. What do those two words mean?
These two words mean the same. They are synonyms. Yash means, again, good fortune. Kirti means, again, fortune, good, famous, being famous. Famous, not fortune. Sorry, being famous.
Yeah, that's what I thought Kirti means, fame. Yeah. But Yash means fortune. Yash means fortune? Or it
fame.
Also means...
No. Both are synonyms. They both mean fame.
Uh-huh. Okay, so now with Prahlad, right, you know, it means that Krishna is giving happiness to the person who is already in happiness. So, of course, it makes me wonder, well, why is he giving happiness to somebody who already is happy?
Because that's what, see, Prahlad, who was Prahlad? He was always 24/7 in bliss. Though he's been tortured by his father, Hiranyakashipu, so many times, but he still accepted, tolerated, and he was in bliss. But when Narsingadev appeared, his bliss got multifold. So that is why it is said that Narsingadev gave pleasure to a person who was already in bliss through his divine presence. It was a rare form in which Narsingadev appeared just for the protection of a 5-year-old boy, Prahlad. Right? He has no other motive. When a Lord incarnate, he has so many other purposes to do. But what purpose he had when he came as Narsingadev was just to kill Hiranyakashipu and to give pleasure to Prahlad. So just for a 5-year-old boy, basically. Even he would have killed Hiranyakashipu maybe some other way, but just to give pleasure to that 5-year-old boy, Prahlad, he came. So he, Narsingadev, he gives pleasure to a person who is already in bliss. So that's why, you know, when we sing that Prahlad Daini, he gives pleasure to already a person who is in the pleasure.
Okay, so I'm sorry, this is another tangent, but, you know, Prahlad, he didn't have any animosity at all for his father. In fact, he had great affection for his father, despite all the atrocities that his father performed. And so he did not, you know, not that he desired the demise of his father. So how is it that Lord Narsingadev thought to give him pleasure by what, killing his father, are you saying?
No, Narsingadev didn't give him pleasure by killing his father, because that's what not Prahlad wants, but only
for
his divine appearance. His divine appearance gives him pleasure.
Okay.
When his father was asking that, you think your God is in this pillar? And Prahlad said, yes, why not? And then immediately Lord Narsingadev came. So just his appearance gave him pleasure, not on the demise of his father.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Marjorie.
Thank you. Okay.
Hari Bol, this was an ecstatic session. Anyone else has any questions or comments for Mataji? Okay. Thank you all so much. Very beautiful questions, very beautiful answers and discussion.
Hare Krishna, very, very nice class, very nice discussion and explanations also, very nice answers. Thank you, Krishna Mataji, Krishna Sundari Mataji, Hare Krishna. I have no
question. Thank you so much, Samadaki Mataji, for blessings. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
So we'll end the call.
वाञ्छाकल्पतरु विदश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यै वच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. अनन्तकोटि वैष्णववृन्द की जय. श्री प्रभु पाद की जय. श्री श्री चैतन्य चरितामृता की जय. कीर्तिदा सुंदरी माताजी की जय. हरे
गौर भक्तवृंद की जय.
थैंक यू माताजी.
थैंक यू माताजी.